Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined once again by Sarah Gon, and thank you very much, Sarah, for being on again today. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this is actually one from the weekend. We didn't have time to cover it yesterday, but we thought we should definitely dip our toes into it. And this is a bit of controversy surrounding the Department of Agriculture. So the story in City Press says that the Department of Agriculture has reissued race-based rules for export farmers, which were opposed very strenuously by the DA before they got into government. This was brought to the attention of Agriculture Minister John Steenhuisen by Sakalika, and apparently the rules have not actually been enforced on farmers yet. So it's not. I don't think anyone's actually had to necessarily change their behavior yet because of these. Steenhuisen said that this was not his intention at all, and he was in fact not aware that these had been issued. He has requested a report on the matter from his director general, and the director general assured him that the regulations had not yet been applied to farmers. So Sakalika criticized him, saying that you know they understood that while he definitely had inherited things from the previous government that he had not been able to change yet, that this was something that was within his power to deal with. Steenhuisen thanked Sakalika for bringing the regulations to his attention. He wrote that it was, quote, regrettable that there are still practices in the department that remained from the previous administration, and that this was as a result of sort of departmental muscle memory. He said, as you may be aware, work has begun to ensure that assistance in the agricultural sector is being done on a basis that does not rely slavishly on race, but rather focuses on the criteria of viability, sustainability, and profitability. So he's now asked his department, his director general of his department, to make a full presentation on the renewed regulations and that he would communicate this to Sakalika and the public at a later date. But Sarah, I think this is a really interesting example of why these ministers who are the non-ANC ministers, if they want to actually get changes done, have to be really sharp and on their feet. When you're new to a job or when you're dealing with an organization as large and as complex as government, it's very easy for the absolutely massive number of bureaucrats to kind of just guide you along, to push you in a direction that they want you to go in, which may be either to suit their ideological goals because of catered employment, many of them are ANC aligned, or it can just be to suit their own goals. You know, bureaucrats have their own interests that are not necessarily the same as the political parties, and they may be pursuing those. When I was a DA councillor in the city of Johannesburg back in 2016, my impression of what was happening to some of the DA MMCs in that government back then was exactly that, where you had MMCs who were essentially kind of being carried along by officials who were just sort of keeping them really busy doing like openings of shops and events and sites and giving speeches and going to conferences. And as a result, there's very little time for decision-making. In fact, I remember one time an MMC told me that they were given a speech that had policy decisions in it that they had to give, and they were given the speech a minute before they were supposed to give it, essentially rushing them into endorsing a particular policy. Sarah, what do you make of this?
I have sympathy for him. I think he's probably been a little bit preoccupied with things that are a little tangential to the importance of the business he has to conduct. But I think Sakalika wrote their complaint, and I think he responded appropriately, which essentially was to say, I'm terribly sorry, but, you know, things have got out of hand. We will correct it. And I think that's the way you do it, particularly if you mean, you know, if you don't mean things to go on as they have been for the past few years. And, you know, bureaucrats have been in the jobs in the departments for a long time doing whatever it is they've done under the previous ministers. So I think he can be forgiven a little latitude in this respect. It certainly goes to our view that he should investigate it, he should get a report and have it changed, and if it may warrant some disciplinary action, no harm in that too.
No, I think that's definitely key. I've actually heard of an example where an ANC minister made a proclamation that this was what the regulation said, and then about a week or two later, his department issued the regulations, and they were the opposite of what the minister had said, apparently without the minister's knowledge. So, yeah, bureaucrats really do have a life of their own, and this, I think for the GNU to succeed, there has to be a real reckoning with parts of the bureaucracy that definitely have their own agenda. And I think the as you say, disciplinary action is a very important tool here.
We're supposed to be doing.
Okay, let us talk about, well, we actually talked about this story yesterday, but unfortunately it's gotten a bit worse. And this is to do with the alleged poisonings of school children by expired food or, improperly sold food from a number of foreign-owned spaza shops. At least that's the story, but there's very little evidence that spaza shops actually have anything to do with this. So there's been a number of news stories recently about sort of fairly large-scale food poisonings of children. These have some, in some cases, you have like 25 pupils getting medical attention in Bronkhorst a few weeks ago after apparently eating snacks bought from a school vendor, from a street vendor nearby. 47 children were tested for food poisoning after consuming allegedly expired chocolates in Hammanskraal. In the West Rand, 74 matric pupils were hospitalized for suspected food poisoning during a school camp. And in every single one of these cases, there seems to be a line drawn to foreign-owned spaza shops, however, without any evidence. So yesterday, we talked a little bit about the Department of National Health's response to this, which seemed entirely kind of evidence-free and just sort of responding to social media complaints. And now Sports and Culture Minister Gate McKenzie from the Patriotic Alliance has jumped in on this, saying, quote, "We need to close all these shops. We can't be debating this matter. The shops should be closed and the owners arrested to be deported. What more do we want to see? More children dying?" This is after the deaths of six children who allegedly consumed snacks from a spaza shop in Naledi, Soweto. However, once again, there is no medical report yet detailing the cause of these children's deaths. There's now also apparently been an order issued in one of these areas to close a number of the shops, and this has been carried out by Metro Cops. Sara, what do you make of this?
I think it's feeding into the xenophobia that certain politicians have sort of essentially tied their policies to the post of, and I think it's absolutely outrageous. I'd be very interested to know, and I haven't had the opportunity to look at it, as to whether an order to close the shops because they are owned by foreigners would even be legal. If the police feel so inclined to raid the shops to see whether the people running or owning the shops are legal and or should be subject to deportation, that's a different issue altogether. But whether they are running shops that, you know, how they're going to determine without proper forensic investigation that there's any complicity. I just think this is an outrage. It's witch hunting. In the worst possible sense. And, the health ministry sending out these 80 health inspectors who've just been trained, apparently. That doesn't solve the problem. The problem is investigating the actual occurrences. And, of course, one has to ask the question is why autopsies were not done on the children who died and ascertain exactly what killed them and then whittle down to as part of the investigation to the source of that. And I think this has got to be this behavior by the authorities and the police has got to be condemned. If the locals are attacking them because of their beliefs, the police's duty is to protect the people being attacked.
Yes, and just to be clear, I didn't mention it, but there have been attacks on shop owners over the past couple of days and burning and looting of some shops that are supposed to be owned by foreigners.
So they're looting the shops they accuse of poisoning.
Yeah, so clearly there's some opportunism here as well. And in fact, I think one of the people trying to get the shops closed actually condemned that. This is just completely lawless behavior. It's very clear what you do here. And sorry, you outlined this a bit yesterday, but I just want to reiterate, you have an investigation with things like forensics. You look into it, you look at specifics of each case, and you say, what was the cause here? And then your response to that is determined by the evidence. This is not what's happening at all. It's all being driven by rumors and fear. And I think very likely there's also the involvement of rival shop owners trying to knock out their competition here. I would not be surprised if that is the case. But just disgusting behavior all around from the authorities and just, you know, complete surrender to the baying of a mob rather than to actually, you know, following the law and the rule of law. Okay. Last story. And this is somewhat amusing one. The ANC Women's League, an organization that I always forget actually exists until inevitably they make some sort of statement in the lead up to the next ANC elective conference. You know, I think they do hold lots of events and they're kind of important for ANC internal politics, but in the rest of the country, they really don't seem to have a lot of impact on much. Their new Secretary General has said that gone are the days when we are at the mercy of male comrades. We are not declaring war, but we are going to show you, you comrades, the days when men are being given senior positions in the ANC is over. However, this was during a Albertina Sisulu Memorial Lecture in Soweto. The Secretary General of the ANC Women's League went on to say, "We are not opening a succession debate. We are not there. It's too early. We don't like the slates thing floating around social media." Sara, what do you make of the ANC Women's League's place in South Africa these days?
Well, I have to say, gone are the days when I remember the names of the president of these ANC's Women's League, and I think that partly says it all. But all I can say is that if the sisters want to take on the men, use the law against them, use anti-discrimination law, go for the attack, and particularly show that you've actually you can offer something at least that the men can offer, and preferably more. Otherwise, you know, here we go again. I don't mean to be disloyal to the sisterhood, but I don't have much faith.
No, I don't think they've covered themselves in glory. They've always sort of, you know, I mean, I don't agree with the idea that women should lead just because they are women, but if that is your goal, that's not even something which is what the ANC Women's League in many ways professes. That's not actually something that they've gone out of their way to properly endorse. You know, time and time again, we've seen them just be used as a tool by others in the ANC to say some of the most horrible things actually about other women sometimes. So, yeah, I think it's an organization with an unbelievable lack of credibility. Much like the ANC Youth League, which itself seems to sort of be limping on in shadow form. I wonder how many actual members it still has to this day.
Anyway. I wonder how many are youth.
Yes, that's an even better question. Although I think the ANC Youth League counts you as youth up till 35 or something. So, I mean, apparently wow. Then I think I'm youth. I may be wrong on that, but that is my faint recollection. In which case, I'm youth, which is nice to hear. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you found the show interesting, and we will be back tomorrow with the Daily Friend Wrap. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.